The UACPA supports certified professional accountants in Utah through ongoing professional education and leadership development for an ever-changing financial world. Find a CPA at uacpa.org.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about beneficial ownership info, or BOI. Yeah, I have no idea, people, what this is, but I do have some guests who are experts at it. Joining me today is Brett Jensen. He is a partner with Haney & Company, and also Susan Spears, the CEO of Utah Association of Certified Public Accountants. And UACPA is the sponsor of Money Making Sense. Thank you for coming along, Susan.
Oh, thank you for having us. We're going to be in for another adventure today.
All right, Brett, you get to go on the hot seat first up.
Oh, great.
First of all, when I saw this subject and it just came out as BOI, all I could think of was good boy, good boy. but it's BOI. So what is BOI and who needs to care about it?
So BOI stands for Beneficial Ownership Information. And what it's designed for is to just create transparency on who owns or who has control over entities within the United States.
Oh, so this is if my legislators own certain things, but they are passing laws that would help them in their business or whatever they own, this is what BOI is targeting?
No, not necessarily. No, the goal is to kind of combat the proliferation of shell companies. There's a lot of shell companies that have anonymity behind them, so people can hide behind them. And what this is just to cast a light on those entities so that government officials know who owns what and can more easily track the flow and sheltering of illicit money.
Susan, can you give us an idea of who these illicit people are?
Well, I don't know any personally, if you must know. But what it's targeting is companies that are money laundering, or we see, you know, illicit drugs crossing borders. It's the bad guys. Oh. It's the crooks. It's those that, like Brett said, these organizations are hiding behind anonymity so that they can do their fraudulent businesses.
Okay. Crooks are really good at hiding stuff like that. So even if you pass a law that says a corporation has to disclose who owns them, can't they just stick a puppet in there as the name of who owns the company and you can still money launder behind it? I mean, how does this really help?
Well, they have to. Yeah. So they're going to have not just owners register, but people that have significant control over the entity. So to answer, I guess to answer your question is potentially they're could be abuse as far as people not registering, but in the past, it hasn't been a requirement at all. So I think we're at least making progress and going in the right direction as far as that goes.
What sticks out in my head when you say this, and I know we're going to talk a lot more about it and I'll get more understanding because this is the first time really I'm kind of getting an inkling of what this is. But what comes to mind is the pandemic loans. I mean, how many fraudulent cases of that is there? And there was supposed to be all this government paperwork and things like that. So how is BOI really, really going to affect the shell companies and how people are laundering the money?
So I think a couple things that you have to understand. So the BOI, these filings are not done through the IRS. As many people believe they are not. These reports are filed through the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. You'll hear the term FinCEN. That's the shortcut or the acronym, if you will. So this is really targeting criminal activity that is going on behind the scenes, fraudulently, the embezzling, the illicit money scams and stuff like that. So we have to keep this separate from the IRS, number one. And then from there, you can kind of start to tone down. Now, I agree with you. Are criminals going to file? No. But I think that we'll start to begin. I think the hope is that the enforcement network will be able to start to weed some things out.
Does every single business now, under this BOI, Beneficial Ownership Information, do all businesses have to register with FinCEN?
So I kind of look at it with a broad stroke first. If you file a document with the Secretary of State on formation of the entity, then you're on your way to being a reporting company, or what they call a reporting company. There are entities that are out of scope, and there are 23 exception or exemptions for certain types of businesses. But far and wide, yeah, most businesses will have to report to the FinCEN network.
What are the type of exemptions that don't have to? Because I'm seeing them as like every single criminal is going to go to those 23 organizations.
Well, first, there's some that are out of scopes. Like a sole proprietorship is considered a disregarded entity, so they don't necessarily need to file or wealth planning trust. So there's certain entities like that that are out of scope. The 23 exemptions would be like banks, large operating companies, publicly traded companies, a tax-exempt entity, those types of businesses.
Yeah, because banks don't l money launder ever.
Well, I hope not. This is kind of interesting in that, and Brett hit on this a little bit, but you may not have caught the nuance. Like a publicly traded company is not required to file with FinCEN, but a smaller entity, like domestic LLC, let's say, it might have only one or two people. They are required to file. I mean, it is because what we see in the from a crime network standpoint, it's the smaller entities that are doing this kind of business. A publicly held company has so many rules and regs tied to it that it's really quite tough for them to do some of these illicit activities without being called on the carpet from a public spec standpoint, just because of all the other filings they're required to do.
Okay, is there a specific case, or I suppose there's probably a multitude of them, of people laundering money, but is there something specifically you can point to go, look, this is a prime example, and this is why legislators or they are looking at, ooh, look at this big thing that just happened at this company, and this is what we're trying to prevent?
I can't think of a specific case, but in general, I mean, if you think about it, the US is one of the only jurisdictions that don't really require beneficial ownership information. Other countries ask for the information, and to this point, we really hadn't been or haven't been collecting it. So, like Susan had said, this is to kind of ferret out money launderers and people, illicit finance, essentially. And will this, make criminals self-report? No, but it is going to narrow the list down that they have to focus on. And that's why you see these exemptions are mostly big companies, public utilities, different things like that, that the government isn't necessarily as concerned about, money laundering or drug trafficking and those types of activities going through those bigger entities because of some of the regulations that they already have to abide by that to some extent, they're already being monitored like that.
I do want to take a break because when we come back, we may be going into something a little bit more in depth. I want to go back to who started the beneficial ownership information. Is it through our legislators, other companies? How did this all come about in the U.S. and where is it going? So we'll be right back with Brett Jensen. He is a partner with Haney and Company, and Susan Spears, the CEO of UACPA.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show. If it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. Today, we're talking about beneficial ownership information. And most individuals, this probably won't affect, is my guess. But if you have a smaller company, LLC, something like that, you are probably going to be impacted. The listeners out there, you're learning with me because I'm not quite understanding what this topic is. But we have Brett Jensen, a partner with Haney & Company, and Susan Spears, the CEO of UACPA, to help us walk through this. So this beneficial ownership info, or BOI, why now? I mean, Brett, you had mentioned that a bunch of other countries have already been doing this and for quite some time, and the U.S. is the only one not asking for this additional information. What was the impetus for us to, we should do this?
Well, and just to give you a little background on it, in 2021, Congress enacted the Bipartisan Corporate Transparency Act, and this was directed at curbing these illicit transactions, you know, the money laundering and I feel it got to a point where they felt something needed to be done, and we need a little bit more transparency and a spotlight kind of cast over this area that before has kind of been in the shadows. And in September 2022, that's when FinCEN, which is a bureau of the Treasury Department, which Susan had mentioned earlier, they announced their final rule requiring these entities to report their BOI, or beneficial ownership information. And we haven't really gotten in to the timing, but you know, for companies established prior to this year, you know, they have to the end of this year to report. And any company that's set up during this year, they have 90 days to report. And any company established after 1/1/25 will have 30 days. As far as reporting goes.
And you said there were 23 types of businesses that are exempt. But aside from these 23 exemptions, every company you're talking about has to send in their information to FinCEN?
Yeah, there's the 23 exemptions. And, you know, those are all listed on the FinCEN.gov/BOI. But there are also other entities that are out of scope. I've mentioned sole proprietorships, wealth planning trusts, general partnerships. There are certain types of entities that are outside the scope as well. But yeah, those 23 exemptions are mostly bigger, large operating companies like we'd mentioned, or banks, publicly traded companies.
And Susan, you said this is the legislature back in 2021. They're the ones who, somebody submitted a bill to have this done, or how did this come about?
Yeah, so this was passed at the federal level. This is not like state legislation. So this was passed at the federal level. As Brett said, it was the Corporate Transparency Act. And so passed in 2021, filing requirements begin in January 2024. But between 21 and 24, there was a lot of back and forth going on. Are we going to file? How does this really happen? Yada, yada, yada. So we come, you know, really, honestly, to the end of 2023, and as CPAs, as attorneys, are saying, so you're not even ready for us to file this. So nothing's really been advertised per se. I mean, if I were to go into the state of Utah and file a new little corporation or whatever, they probably wouldn't say, oh, By the way, while you're incorporating, you're going to have to go onto the FinCEN website and file your beneficial ownership information report. I mean, there's been some huge challenges, which is why we bring the whole topic up anyway, because it, you know, whether we like it or not, it is tax filing season. So this is a good time to let businesses be aware, you know, while you're at it, you might want to get these BOI reports filed.
And it's up to the CPAs of those companies or entities to do the filing?
No, not necessarily. That's been a whole other can of worms that you just opened up for us, Heather.
I tried.
I know. There's been challenges there. Typically, the attorneys are the ones that are drafting up the articles of organization, the articles of incorporation, different documents that businesses have to file with their individual states. And so, you know, so the question's been, well, does my attorney file this? Does my CPA file it? My CPA knows more about my business probably than anybody else. But as CPAs, we certainly don't want to get in trouble for the unauthorized practice of law. And I'll just be frank and honest. I mean, we have the whole world listening to this. Bar associations aren't making rulings on this anytime soon, you know, which brings more frustration. I know here in Utah, we were told that probably not. The Utah Bar hasn't had an unauthorized practice of law case in just about 100 years. They don't necessarily see any trouble with this because they do say, yes, we know the CPAs, you know, the ownership, we're working with all that, but they haven't filed. They haven't given us an opinion yet that we can file. The liability insurance companies, I mean, they kind of don't want to get into it. So there's so much confusion, and the little small ma-pas, they don't know. They probably don't even know they have this requirement. Our larger companies, sometimes there can be some question is really who is a beneficial owner. It might not be a shareholder or a member necessarily. It could be somebody on the board of directors that has some huge influence upon how the company is run. So there are a lot of questions that we don't have a lot of answers for.
Susan, you brought up somebody on the board of trustees. If that board of trustees person owned like 10% of the company, you would just look at their ownership and go, oh, they don't own very much of it. But you're saying they have a lot of influence and sway as to where you're going to buy your product or invest monies. And that's where you can start getting into money laundering.
Well, not necessarily money laundering, but from a reporting standpoint, If I have a member on my board of directors, let's say, that has a 10% ownership in the organization, it may, you know, from an outsider, it's that, yeah, it's a minority ownership, but they may have great influential impact as to the direction or decisions that that board of directors makes for the company, you know, with regards to this is the direction the company's going to go. Good or bad. I mean, I would hope. I mean, we like to hope that companies don't decide that they're going to do illicit activities. But you, I mean, we all know that we all know boards of directors that may have a huge impactful person that may own a minority of stock, but does have a majority impact as far as decision making opportunities.
To add, you know, to what Susan said, there can be many beneficial owners to one entity. And, you know, as far as, is it going to be attorneys, is it going to be CPAs, or who's going to be tasked with filing this and compliance with it? Because once they file it, you know, it's been filed with FinCEN, and goes even further than that. You know, if one of those beneficial owners changes address, they have a certain amount of time that they need to file an update with FinCEN regarding any of those certain types of changes. And, you know, who's going to be tasked with that responsibility as far as, you know, reporting those updates to FinCEN? Is it going to be the attorney? Is it going to be the CPA or the client? And those are things that still need to be ironed out.
Earlier, you had mentioned that if I, let's say I am walking in to incorporate my business today, I have 90 days to file my beneficial ownership info to FinCEN. But if I had owned a corporation prior to 2024, I have until the end of this year. What happens if I miss the deadline? Because I don't know about this. Like, nobody's told me. I don't have a CPA. I just do the books myself. And I didn't hear about any of this. So what happens if I miss the deadline?
They have civil and criminal penalties that are associated with it. The civil penalty is $500 per day. I saw that the FinCEN, I believe, released a day or two ago that they've changed that penalty and indexed it for inflation, and it's $591 per day. You know, as an accountant, we're exact, but yeah. So every day that, you know, they're out of compliance or have not filed, they will get a penalty.
Okay, wait, this sounds more like a shakedown, and this is a way for the government to get money it needs to run itself, because they haven't put out a whole ton of information. I'm wondering how many entities and corporations are going to be caught with their pants down.
That's a huge concern. We've seen statistics indicating anywhere from 32 to 36 million companies have this requirement.
Wow.
Let that sink in for a minute.
And if you even have a million of them that file late, and it's $591 a day, and they don't file for even 30 days, oh my God, that's billions of dollars.
That's where the concern is. We have so many unanswered questions, number one. I mean, we know that there's been a lawsuit in Alabama, and the court said, no, this can't be done. But in the ruling, they said, but there are ways Congress can get this information. So we're still saying, yeah, get these reports filed. Let's be on the safe side. I think at the end of the day, the ultimate responsibility is going to be with the company. My concern, and maybe it's because when I had my own practice, I mean, I worked with small companies, and a lot of them don't have a huge staff of accountants and attorneys to make sure that they're doing everything properly and correct, you know? So there are a lot of unanswered questions.
This is a good place to take a break, because my brain just kind of started swirling there on that last little bit of information. When we come back, we'll try to figure out this legality thing that you were talking about, and do we foresee even more lawsuits over it? So we'll be right back with Susan Spears, the CEO of UACPA, and Brett Jensen. He's a partner with Haney & Company.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show. If it affects your life in any way money-wise, we're talking about it. Today, it's beneficial ownership information. And what I've learned is that this could be affecting 36 million companies in the U.S. Joining me today is Brett Jensen. He is a partner with Haney & Company, and Susan Spears, the CEO of UACPA. I want to go back to 2021 when this law was passed that most entities, corporations will need to file this beneficial ownership information with FinCEN. What did a notice go out to every single company on Sun? I mean, how do people find out that now there's another piece of paperwork that they're supposed to file? How does this information get out there?
Well, I know we've been, for all our clients, we've been letting them know for quite some time now. And, you know, I've seen it kind of in the news, but that's one problem is I think there are a lot of people that probably are unaware of this requirement and that it pertains to them.
Susan, you had mentioned earlier that if you go down to file and does the state notify you or email or, oh, and here's this additional paperwork you have to fill out on the federal level, or they just assume you're going to know?
My hunch is probably not. I certainly haven't been in to file anything lately, but just has not been advertised, number one, which is huge concern that we just haven't seen the outlay on this. So it's, you know, so as Brett mentioned, we have these huge fines that could be had if somebody finds out. And I don't know how that works either. Just, you know, I mean, does a name come up randomly and FinCEN checks to see if it's filed? I don't know. We don't know what all that infrastructure is. So it's one of the reasons we're talking about for a podcast, we poke the panda a little bit and let people know about this.
Yeah, I'm just struggling. I mean, I feel really bad for entities right now, not the ones that are funneling money or doing the bad things. And that's why this has come into effect. But say a release went out in 2021, one great big thing, and all the corporations at that time knew about it. And maybe they understand, oh, by this year, I've got to file my information. But if I'm brand new and no information, much information has come out since 2021 about that, and nobody tells me at the state level and I don't know, and a year goes by and all of a sudden FinCEN checks and now I owe millions of dollars because of the $591 a day penalty, it kind of goes back to, well, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. I can just foresee more and more lawsuits happening over this.
Well, and speaking of lawsuits, and Brett, chime in on this. There was a federal court in Alabama that held that the Corporate Transparency Act, which requires this reporting, is unconstitutional. So the district court, they granted a motion summary judgment. But in that same opinion, they said legislation may have sensible and praiseworthy ends. The court states that the government's arguments that Congress has the power to regulate millions of entities and their stakeholders the moment they obtain a formal corporate status, it gives precedence that, yes, Congress has the ability to do this, but it doesn't have the sufficient nexus, if you will, to go through the process.
To enforce it.
Yes. So now we throw this federal opinion in Alabama. So what does this mean? Is everybody up in arms? Probably. The advice that we've received from the American Institute of CPAs is, you know, this is going to be volleying back and forth. So let's go ahead and do our due diligence and get these reports filed.
Brett, have you helped in your own practice? Have you seen other entities going ahead to start filing this information?
Yeah, especially if they were formed earlier in the year. They have that deadline. They don't get the same, you know, they have to do it within 90 days of forming that entity. And, you know, to be honest, we were all pretty excited. I believe it was March 1st that the district court and the District of Alabama came back and said, you know, it's unconstitutional, BOI. And so we thought there would be a stay, but then FinCEN came out the next day and said, well, there is a stay, but it's only for the, you know, the plaintiffs. You know, everybody else still needs to file. And like Susan said, the AICPA's guidance is that we do need to just keep filing. But, you know, and as part of trusted advisors, we've been emailing our clients and calling them and meeting with them, just trying to get them up to speed on what they need to do and what their requirements are.
So if I'm a smaller company and I am not one of the exempted and I don't have a CPA and I don't have an attorney, how do I start this process?
So to start the process, you go to the fincen.gov/BOI, and right there, their website's actually pretty user-friendly. You log into it right there, and it'll take you through the process of registering.
Susan, any advice for people who may be having, have you looked at this form? Have you gone on there? Have you seen the form?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to need to know, they're kind of the usual. I mean, it is, like Brett said, fairly user-friendly. I mean, name your organization, your principals or your shareholders, address. It's pretty basic information. I think the challenge for me more than anything is that word has not gotten out. There's just been such a lack of communication that too many people are going to be caught by surprise. You know, it's something that as CPAs at a federal, you know, national level, we've said, you guys aren't ready to roll this out. Let's hold back another year and let's get your ducks in a row. There's a big group that are probably okay, but it's these small, so, you know, MAPA tiny entities that either don't have a CPA, try to do everything on their end, that on their own, they're the ones that are going to be caught in some crosshairs, I think.
Does anyone have any other advice about this topic?
My advice would just be, you know, if you have any questions or concerns, that the website I had mentioned, FinCEN's website, does have some good FAQs on it, or reach out to your trusted advisor, you know, and they can help you with the process. But that's my biggest concern, is just, I hope word spreads, just so that people aren't caught off, you know, completely off guard with this.
Susan?
I would agree with that. It's word has to get out. You know, as professionals, as small business owners, hopefully we have 36 million small business owners listening to this podcast today. Ask your advisors, get onto the fincen.gov website. They actually have done a pretty good job on that, a not so good job. And I mean, even people don't even know this organization exists. So
yeah, this is the first time I've heard about it. So tell me, Susan, again, what's the full name of FinCEN?
It's the Financial Enforcement Crime Network. And there's the Beneficial Ownership Information Reporting. So if you go on to FinCEN, FinCEN.gov, and then /BOI, it's got a pretty good FAQ page. It's, you know, you're going to be able to see the form. You can log in, as Brett indicated, to start filling out the report. It's nothing difficult. The difficulty is that nobody knows about it.
Yeah. Okay, so FinCEN.gov/BOI. And I'm going to put a link to that in the description of this show. So if people are curious or worried or whatever, they can just click on that link and they'll learn more. And it sounds like right now it's a bad boy and not a good boy. All right. Thank you again, Susan Spears, the CEO of Utah Association of Certified Public Accountants. You are the sponsor of Money Making Sense. And Brett Jensen, a partner with Haney & Company.
Thank you, Heather. This has been a tough one.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.